Welcome to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise. Life and business are not linear. Let's get moving with honest, reliable, and unbiased information you can use to master life and business. We've all experienced life's ups and downs. In this show, Suzanne and Denise are committed to moving onward, upward, and most of all, learning from the biggest challenges we face in life and business. Join in the conversations with experts in their respective fields of health, wellness, personal development, fitness, and fun. And that's not all. Your path to self-mastery starts here. No climb is a straight line. Goals are achievable with clear targets. The ascent begins now.
Hello, hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here today for the Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise.
Hello.
What's up, Denise? It's been forever. I can't believe it. You've been away on vacation for 3 weeks. And an appropriate topic for today, because you've been getting extra sleep on this trip.
I have. And it's been amazing. You kind of forget how much you need to get that right, correct amount of sleep, because most of us don't get it on a regular basis. So being here and, you know, just not having to be up and not having anything to worry about for the last 3 weeks has been really refreshing. It really has been an eye opener.
Yeah. Well, we so take sleep for granted, right? And most of us aren't getting enough. Mm-mm. And I'm really passionate about this topic because it's the number one thing I had to work on. So if I have to put this much effort into something, I'm definitely going to talk about it. So I'm really excited for this conversation today with you, because we both kind of struggled on and off mm-hmm. with our sleep. One, making it a priority, and then dealing with overactive brain, waking up too often. And yeah. It really helps you feel good and helps you make mm-hmm. better business decisions and be the best possible version of yourself. And we're going to talk today about some easy habits for our listeners to kind of help them get started, really maximizing their sleep efficiency and the sleep quality. Because it's not just about how many hours you get. It's about the quality of sleep mm-hmm. that you're getting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we do need to start with, like, how many hours do we need or should we be getting? Mm-hmm. And I know for myself, for me to function at my best, I need 8 hours and I need a solid 8 hours. What about you, Suze?
I used to think that I could function on like 5 or 6 when my son was little, but then I was so tired in the afternoon. I was either taking a nap or reaching for more caffeine. So mm-hmm. now I shoot for 9 in bed, mm-hmm. which means I'm asleep for about 7.5 or 8. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny that you say that, you know, when Sean was little, that, you know, you would get maybe 5 hours and then, you know, have some caffeine, which of course then later on messed up your sleep. So it did get into a big cycle, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I think a lot of people really do believe that, oh, I'm fine on 5 hours of sleep. And then, you know, on a weekend, you know, on a Saturday, they sleep, you know, 15 hours. And because they need, you're trying to catch up. Because if your body's not rested, it can't do all of the things that it needs to do, you know, for it to function properly. Forget about feeling good, but just, you know, your body functioning the way it needs to. And it is, you know, 7 to 9 hours is recommended for adults. Obviously, we know kids need more. And actually, I have a link here for a reference from the Mayo Clinic. And of course, I do reference the Mayo Clinic quite a bit. I do live in Rochester, Minnesota, home of the Mayo Clinic. So if anyone is curious to why you always see those, that's really the reason. But I believe in, you know, they're really strong in their information and making sure that people are getting good information. So when I was reading their article on how much sleep people should get, and they actually break it down by age. Interestingly, and I've had this conversation with my mom, she'll say, oh, I need less sleep at night, but she naps during the day. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, you know, as an adult, 18 or over, you really do require 7 to 9. And like I said, I need 8 hours without doubt. Otherwise I don't feel good. And
yeah, and I think one of the misconceptions is that you can catch up on your sleep on the weekends. And I remember when I read Matthew Walker's book, Why We Sleep. Mm-hmm. And that book really addressed, you know, all the preconceived notions, all the research. And it really gave you some great insights into, you know, the belief that, oh, if I don't sleep well all week, I can catch up on the weekends. And in reality, the catching up, you can only add an extra hour per night to catch up your sleep deficit. So if you imagine getting 5 hours of sleep every night, Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday, and so then you're short 3 hours a night, you actually have to make up an extra hour for almost 3 weeks to have your brain function be back to what it was if you had been getting 8 hours of sleep a night. So that kind of blew my mind that you can't just make it up mm-hmm. on the weekends, that it's only about an hour's deficit that you get each night to make
that's up. Interesting. I didn't know that. So basically mm-hmm. all, you know, all those nights, you know, when we were in college, like staying up, you know, cramming for exams, really was a waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't make up, you know, a week of bad sleep takes you 3 weeks to make up for that.
Oh.
So when I thought about that, I thought, dear mm-hmm. God, I'm going to be making up sleep until I'm 90 years old at the rate I'm at. Right. So it really, humans were not evolved to function with less than 7 to 8 hours. And that misconception that so many people have that, oh, I can function on 4 or 5. In reality, it's only about 2% of the population who have normal brain function on that amount of sleep. Mm-hmm. So there are some special people out there who can function on less sleep. But the research and MRIs tell us that it's only about 2% of wow. the population. So odds are it's not you.
It's definitely not me. Think about it. If you're not sleeping, if you're really sleep deprived, and I don't know the actual statistics, and I don't have them in front of me, but I can get them. I know when you're lacking sleep and you get behind the wheel of a car, it's mm-hmm. almost like driving drunk.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things they talked about in this book, is that your cognitive function drops down so much mm-hmm. that it's almost like you have a blood alcohol level of 1.5.
Okay. So everybody if you're not sleeping, don't drive, call an Uber.
Yes. Right. And you know, I really wanted to make sure that everybody got those quick and dirty tips that we talked about. Mm-hmm. So why don't you take those tips and drive those home for everybody, how they can take quick, actionable things that you can start doing tonight. So get your pen and paper ready. These are the things that you want to start doing or not doing.
And this is really important. Number one is not eating too late. Realistically, you should not be eating anything 3 hours before you go to bed. Think about if you have a heavy meal, and then you go lay down, you don't feel good. You're not digested. You can't digest well. I mean, you can't digest if you're laying down. But even snacking too close to bedtime really disrupts your sleep, again, because your body is trying to digest. It's not trying to sleep. So that's one of the things that I think is really important, because most of us can be sitting there in front of the television snacking, turn off the television, go right into bed, mm-hmm. Which is point number two. Turn off the TV or the phone and the computer at least an hour before you go to bed, because your brain is still kind of going, you know, kind of that monkey brain that Suzanne will talk about in a little bit. You know, if you're looking at the computer and the blue light, and truly if you're looking at a computer for hours at a time, especially in the evening, two things I recommend, get those, the blue light glasses, or there's a program, it's called Flux, F-L-U-X. And it's something you install on your computer, and it literally dims the light on the computer as the time, you know, as mm-hmm. it gets dark out. So
yeah, and if you have an Apple computer, you can do that right in your settings. You can adjust it to take as much blue light out as possible, and you can set that just, you know, to start dimming your computer at like 4 o'clock, mm-hmm. and it gradually gets darker. And it's not bad. I leave mine on like that all the time.
Yeah, I use the Flux because I have a PC. So I use the Flux app. I will say though, with time zone changes, it really kind of messes it up a little bit. So you do have to go in and adjust it. But talking about darkness and the light, one of the things that is really important, if your room isn't dark enough, if there's a night light or if there's light coming in from the full moon, we had a full moon out here last night. Well, I would imagine you had a full moon where you are too. But if it's not dark enough in the room where you're sleeping, wear a pair of those goggles. I probably have about 50 pair of them scattered around my house. Either they're in the laundry room or they're on Mark's side of the bed or my side of the bed. And truly, I never really believed in them until I actually used them. So that's quick and easy. Find, you know, you can order them online. There've been times when I didn't have one close and I just put a towel over my eyes. That works too. Short term. In your room, if it's not dark enough, that's one thing. If it's too hot in your room, that is a major challenge. So temperature, you know, if you're a person who seems to be hot all the time,
I think that's another show.
That's a totally different show.
Dive into that.
Definitely.
And maybe we'll have to have a disclaimer on that show that it might be TMI, but yeah, we're going to go there. We just have to decide when we're bringing that episode to you.
Soon, because yeah. I think it's something that we're all struggling with. Yeah. But on the flip side, if you are somebody who is cold all the time, then, you know, maybe turn the temperature up just enough or, you know, put another blanket on. You really want to be comfortable to sleep, to get that real good sleep. Because if you're too cold and you're kind of moving around, if you're too hot, you're throwing the bed clothes off. Mm-hmm. That's not a good way to fall asleep or stay asleep. Another thing that I struggle with is noise. So where I live, and it never bothered me when I lived in New Jersey and when I grew up in New York, noise was not a big deal. I could sleep. There could be a car crash going on outside, a party going on outside, and I could sleep. Not anymore. It is so quiet where I live that I've gotten to a point where if I'm someplace else, I need to either wear earplugs or I use white noise. And you can get the white noise right from your phone. They have white noise machines. I actually use my white noise machine in my office when I'm working down there. And I have the sound of ocean waves because it's very calming to me. And those days when I haven't had enough sleep, that could kind of put me to sleep. But truly, if we're talking about getting to sleep and staying to sleep, if it's too noisy, then earplugs, a white noise machine really goes, works wonders. I did mention this before, at least an hour before bed, turn off the electronics. And this is one people don't really think about. You know, you have a busy day and you think, oh, I've got to get my exercise in. I'm going to go to a 7 o'clock pump class. Mm-hmm. And so you're done at 8 o'clock. And you go to bed at 10, maybe you haven't had enough time. Your body hasn't had enough time to kind of calm down. Your heart's still going, probably too fast if you've been to a pump class, but you really do need at least 3 to 4 hours before you fall asleep to exercise. So no more than 3 or 4 hours before you're going to go to sleep. So those late classes that people really like are really not helping them to sleep. They may be helping them with their physical fitness, but then if they're not sleeping well because of that, that might be something to reevaluate and to take a class a little earlier. And then, of course, the last quick thing is, you know, think of the circadian rhythms, you know, how your body naturally is working during the hours, like from 4 in the morning till noon, your body is in not digestion mode, elimination mode. So you want to be sleeping at that point, you know, at early in the morning, as the sun rises, your body is ready. Your hormones are doing certain things. So pay attention to the circadian rhythms. People who work night shifts, you know, when they try to flip over and go into day shift, their circadian rhythms are all messed up. And so that's something that we really need to think about is, you know, if it's daytime and you should be up, then you should be awake. If it's nighttime, you should be sleeping. And when you try to do something, if you try to go against that, your body doesn't like it. It's going to fight you and you're not going to feel well.
And so, and that's something I just experimented and heard about, you know, more about circadian rhythms last year. And, you know, in the wintertime, we're dealing with those shorter days, more dark hours, at least here in New Jersey on the East Coast. Almost all of the United States deals with that. And one of the things that was recommended to me was to, when I do get up in the morning, I'm getting up in the dark, right? And it's probably dark for at least an hour or two this time of year, because I get up at 5:30. When the sun does come up, to actually stand in the window in the sun, if it's warm enough, go outside and allow the sun to hit your face and your eyelids, especially, just for 5 minutes. And that signals your brain that it's time to be awake. And since I've been doing that, I'm lucky enough that my office here is a sunroom. So when the sun does come up, it comes right in the window to my left here. And I just turn and put my face in the sun. And I've noticed a remarkable difference in how awake I am in those hours before noontime when I do that.
That's really important. It really is. And when it's dark so early, it's getting a little better now this time of year, but back in December it's so dark so early. One of the things that I always recommend is is one of those white lights, one of those fluorescent lights, because that will help with seasonal affective disorder. Because that's something that also can disrupt your sleep. Yeah. So all of these things are really important to pay attention to and, you know, ask yourself the question, you know, what helps you sleep better? What are the things that are keeping you from sleeping? So with that, Suzanne, let's talk about some sleep disruptors. So obviously we just talked about some things that we can do better. What's really keeping us up though?
Well, truly, I think the number one is that you don't value sleep and you don't make it a priority. You don't put it number one on your schedule. Everything else comes first, you know, from chores to watching TV to work, maybe, you know, you're checking emails right before bed. So putting a value on it that's really high on your personal self-care routine, I think is key. And that's number one, like realize how important it is. Inconsistency is number two, you know, getting 4 hours one night, eight the next night, then four, then eight, then seven, then. So going to bed at a consistent time every night, pick a time. If you need to get up at six, count back 8 or 9 hours. And that's the time you should be in bed and be consistent with that. Set your priorities to do that consistently. Don't use screens too late at night. Anxiety, caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, eating too late, like you said, exercising too late, and then that suboptimal sleep environment. If it's too hot, if it's too cold, if your covers are too tight, if your sheets are too itchy, if there's too much light, like it really is kind of battle to optimize all of those things at one time. And we're not asking you to do that. I would say start with one. Start with your diet and start saying to yourself, I'm going to eat at least 3 hours before I go to bed. And if you find yourself waking up at night because of anxiety or stress or an mm-hmm. overactive monkey brain, like I have, you know, I'm dreaming of like sales funnels and emails at night. And oh, how am I going to hook that together? Literally waking up in the middle of the night, thinking about a client's business and how I'm going to link their stuff together. Like mm-hmm. I need to shut that down way before it's time to go to bed. So
one of the ways you can do that, Suzanne, and this is mm-hmm. something that I'm not as consistent with this as I need to be, but I really try to be, and I believe in this. If you are waking up and have all those thoughts, one, if you can write it down before you go to bed, but if I keep a notebook and a pen next to my bed, because if it's something like, oh, I don't want to forget, I wake up, I write it down, and then I don't have to think about it anymore because it's written down. Yes. And so I can come back to it. Because how many times do you have a great thought and you go, oh, I'll do that in the morning. I'll worry about that in the morning. And then you mm-hmm. forget about it, or it keeps you up. Yes. Writing it down, just, it takes that stress out. You know, it's there, it's written down. You can move forward and go, okay, relax, breathe, relax.
Yeah.
And go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Let it go. Mm-hmm. I think that was the hardest thing for me to really tackle. And I noticed that with a lot of entrepreneurs that I work with that, you know, just because it's time for bed, your brain doesn't realize that it's time to start working. And one of the other things that mm-hmm. happens quite often is pain. And if you're uncomfortable, even if it's a good pain from, you know, a great workout or, you know, muscle soreness, muscle fatigue, that can wake you up in the middle of the night, rolling over on a sore shoulder, or, you know, your legs are tired from a really good workout. So really noting if you are having some physical discomfort in your body that, and realizing that can wake you up in the middle mm-hmm. of the night. Sleep environment. This has been huge for me, making sure mm-hmm. that my bedroom was cold enough. Mm-hmm. And just last night, perfect example, I forgot to turn my heat down last night before I went to bed. And we keep our house relatively cold. So I believe it was set on 68. So that means in my bedroom upstairs, it was over 70. And mm-hmm. I woke up at 12:15. The heat was running. My throat was dry. My nose was dry. I had to get up and go downstairs and turn the heat down because I almost went out on my porch because I was so hot. So, but again, that's that other show.
I've done that once or twice.
Yeah. And so I really think putting that nighttime routine in place, figuring out what is keeping you up, what's waking you up, and making a plan to fix that one thing or start with one thing at a time, and then putting that PM routine in place. And I think we'll go through this PM routine really quick. Denise, what's your PM routine?
So for me, I actually am one of those people, I eat a little later. So I usually eat about 7 o'clock at night, 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And when it's summertime, it may even be later. But what happens then is the time I go to bed changes and the time I wake up changes. So no matter what I'm doing, I always plan that, you know, I know when I'm having dinner, I know then when I need to go to sleep. So before I actually finish, so my evening routine actually starts before I leave my office. And what I do then is I write down the top three things that I need to do the next day. Again, this way I'm not thinking about it. So that's the first thing I do. Dinner is planned. We've eaten. I tend to turn the television off. I might read a little bit, but it's usually something fun, nothing work related or anything heavy. Usually it's a fun book. And that kind of changes my whole mood. Like I'm like, oh, okay, this is fun. And it calms me down. It kind of calms my heart rate. It gets me more comfortable and ready for bed. But obviously an hour before, I always turn off my phone. I actually leave my phone in the kitchen. I never bring it into the bedroom.
Yeah, me too. I leave mine in my office.
you know, it makes noises. I don't know how to turn off some of the bings and bobs and noises that it makes.
Yep.
So there've been times like, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, it'll make a sound. And so I keep that away. And that really is good also, you know, you don't want to have all of this electronics, you know, at some point we need to kind of detox there.
Yeah.
What I like to do is I like to take a bath or shower before I go to bed, kind of just cleans the day, yeah, cleans away the day. And again, and you know, not too hot, but you know, that warm water is relaxing. Sometimes I'll jump in the hot tub, just for a little bit. You know, again, it's relaxing. And so that really kind of gets my body ready to enjoy eight hours of sleep. Yeah. And then again, I do listen to white noise, even at home. We have a fan going, in the bedroom. A lot of times Mark will have additional white noise, because interestingly, where I am in Minnesota, it's so quiet that any kind of noise, you know, the house is creaking or any kind of outside noise I hear, and that wakes me up. So that white noise is really important. Funny story. When I was a kid, I used to fall asleep to, a cassette tape, I'm aging myself, of the Beach Boys. And it was one of those that kind of the last few songs were kind of slower and more calm and kind of, you know, kind of lulled you to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so I've kind of always kept that. I've always fallen asleep to either some kind of soothing music or some kind of white noise. And then I really do try to go to bed the same time every night. And I think that to me is the most important piece, is to make sure it's pretty close most nights.
Yeah.
So,
well, it looks like we have to wrap up already. I can't believe it's over. Thank you everyone so much for joining the show today. We're going to have to talk more about sleep routines and tools for sleep. We're about to go with our live audience into our breakout room and go deeper with our audience. You'll be able to ask questions, interact, and receive some Love Seat coaching. When you see the prompt come up on your screen, select join now, and we'll see you over there. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise. Life and business are not linear. Your go-to solution for honest, reliable, and unbiased information you can use to master your life and business. To connect with Suzanne, visit thetailoredconsultingagency.com. That's tailored, T-A-Y-L-O-R-D. And to connect with Denise, visit livinghealthylist.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.